The topic of my shiur is capturing the essence of Rosh Hashanah through its Haftorah. And it's a tribute to our esteemed alumni, Dr. Baruch Albertzal, over the period of his Yahrzeit. His Yahrzeit is a few weeks before Rosh Chodesh Elul. So therefore, the topic of Rosh Hashanah, Shofar, I think is an appropriate topic for him. The Gemara Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph talks about that on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we read Hashem Pokad Esara and Maftirin Bechana, read the Haftorah of Chana. Okay? And Rashi says, why is that? Because Rosh Hashanah Nifkid Esara Rachel Bechana. Baruch remembered Sara Rachel Bechana to make them pregnant on Rosh Hashanah. Okay? That's why we read Sara in the Torah and Chana in the Haftorah. My wife was listening to me when I was mentioned this, and she asked, wait, Sarah Rachel Bechana, what happened to Rachel? Okay, this is Erech Agav. So, of course, I answered that, listen, in the Torah, Sarah, Hashem, Pocket of Sarah. Haftorah, you're looking for Perek and Navi. Rachel is in the Torah, okay? But afterwards, I realized, wow, what's the Haftorah of the second day of Rosh Hashanah? The end of the Haftorah is that Rachel Mavaka Albanel, Kol Barama Nishma, so Rachel also gets into Haftorah of Rosh Hashanah. Okay? But I'll also say in the Farshim explain that we have nine tfilos in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, unlike every Shabbos and Yontif when you have the three at the beginning, the three at the end, and one in the middle. Mekadesh Yisrael, Razmane, Mekadesh HaShabbos. On Rosh Hashanah by Musaf, we have nine tefillos. Why is that? Well, the Mefarshim say, because there are nine times that Hashem's name is mentioned in the tefillah of Chanah. Okay. So again, Chanah taught us how to daven. The Gemara in Brachos learns that many of the halachos of tefillah from Chanah. Okay. One can say even more than that, that shofar is actually a kiyum in tefillah as well. Chazal talked about whether what's the shape that a shofar should be. Kama de kafuf in this, should it be kafuf, should it be a bent horn, or should it be a straight horn? Okay? So Chazal say, what is that dependent on? So it's based on kama de kafuf in this tremaila, or kama de poshet in this tremaila. What's the best way, Rashi says, to daven? When we daven, are we supposed to be bent over? Wow, you have a right to daven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to be in a modest position, or else come to push it in this. A person is the only one who has the schus to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah, so we have to be proud of that. So we see that shofar itself is a key in tefillah, and the shape of the shofar reflects how it is, what position we're supposed to be when we doubt. So Chana is certainly a major personality, perhaps the major personality, in that first period of Sefer Shmuel, which is the Haftorah of Rosh Hashanah, first day of Rosh Hashanah. Okay? If that's the case, so the first pasuk, right, of Sefer Shmuel, Vehi Shechad Merna Messiah, Tofim Mahar Ephraim, Mishmoel Kana, etc., but Tufa Frosty, is simply telling you a background, like who was Chana, that her husband was Okana, and the very next pasuk is Velo Shtei Nashim, Shemachas Chana, Veshem Hashem is Benina. Okay? That's what it is. Okay? It's an introduction to Chana, who is the topic of the Haftar. However, Chazal, in their way of being able to penetrate a text the way we aren't able to do. So they show us at that first pasuk, they see it very, very differently, and as Elkanah being a prominent person in his own right. And in fact, we would expect that that's the case. Because if not, that first pasuk is just too long. Like he is Shafadman, Messiah, Sofim, Arafraim, Ishmo, Elkanah, Ben Yerucha, Ben Leoda. All it should have said is, below Shtei Nashim, Shema Haschana, Shema Shainis Bini. Okay? So it's obviously telling us something about Elkanah per se. The question is what? What is it telling us? Okay. I think we have to begin with a very basic question on that pasuk. Okay? And if we're able to answer that question properly, then we'll get tremendous insight into what that first perek is about and the role of Elkanah. That question is, the pasuk starts out, which means that Shmuel starts out with Vayehi Ish Echad, and our Messiah and so on. Vayehi starts with a Vav. Okay? Chazal tell us that Vav Mosif al Inyan Rishon. And Vav, when something starts with a Vav, it always takes you back to what happened previously. The great difficulty is, this is the first pasuk in Sefer Shmuel. So what could it possibly be taking you back to? Okay. So it's interesting. Rashi apparently was bothered by our question and is attempting apparently to resolve it. What Rashi says is as follows. A kol lefi asef. Everything is going in order. Moshe Moser is atorah Yeshua. The Yeshua lezakenim. Yeshua gave over the Torah lezakenim. The shofet muscle is shofet, and one shofet gave it over to another shofet. Obviously, Chazal is telling us here that the shoftim and the zakenim are synonymous. Achigia le'eli, until the Torah reached Eli, umemeda l'Shmuel, and from him to Shmuel, k'moshe sheninu is the zakenim le'neviim. The zakenim gave it over to the neviim. So obviously what Rashi is saying is he's relating to the Mishnah in Perkei Avos and Moshe to Moshe Torah, Moshe Kibbutz Torah, Messinah, Misrul, Yeshua, etc., etc. So each, the Vav over here is connecting to what was had transpired previously. And then, interestingly, we find the Sefer Yeshua also begins with a Vav. He Akremos Moshe Ben Hashem, etc., because that's going from, it's connecting to Moshe, Kibbutz Torah, Messina, Misrul, Yeshua. Yeshua gave it over to the Zakenim. Sefer Shoftim also begins with a Vav. He gave it over to the Zakenim. And over here, the Vav at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel represents the next transitionary period, which is Zakenim gave it over to the Nevi'im. Okay? And that takes care of the rest of Tanakh. Until the very end, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, they who were themselves members of the Anshei Knesset Sagdola, they pass it on to the Anshei Knesset Sagdola. Okay, that's apparently what Rashi's trying to tell us. But perhaps there's another approach, and that's one that's suggested by the Ralbag and the Radak. Okay? And that is, if this pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel can't take us back to anything in Sefer Shmuel, obviously. And obviously what it must be doing is taking us back to the end of the previous Sefer, which is Sefer Shoftim. Okay? And that's another way, other possibility, what that Vav of Mosif al-Inyan Rishon. We know that Sefer Shoftim was not a very, very great period. Chazal say was a Dor Shoftim. And they're safer show. One of them is Pesel Micha, and the other is Pelegesh. And that people started worshiping. Okay? Not only did people start worshiping, from everything that Chazal say, from a number of Chazal, based on Psukim in the text itself, apparently people stopped going to Shiloh, which is where the Mishkan was, where they should be going. And they started going to Micha. One thing, Shiloh was a tough place, not such a friendly atmosphere. Chazal say about Micha that he was extremely, extremely a gomer chassadin, very, very friendly. But also, that's a separate topic, which is not the topic of our shiur. But there may be a very good reason why people worship Pesach, what it was all about. It made it very attractive. And I can't go into it, but it was an Avodah Zarah. Pesach. Okay? Then there's Pelegish Megivah, the next couple of parakim, next story, where somebody sends off his concubine and then goes to fetch her. And he stays by his father-in-law's house, and then he wants to go back with her. He goes back, and it gets dark when he's in a place called Givon Shevet Binyam. So he has no choice but to encamp there. And somebody actually invites him to stay in his house, and that's where he goes for the night. Right? The people of Givon Shevet Binyamin, they find out that there's a guest in his house. So they end up, right, attacking his Pelegish, right, to the degree, right, so visually, that she ends up being killed. Right. What the husband does is he cuts up her body and sends out the body pieces to all of the Shvatim and Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael realizes something terrible, terrible must have happened. When they found out what happened, they wanted jurisdiction over the people who did this. And since it was a little bit of a lawless time at that time, not a unified time, so Shevet Binyamin says, no, we have jurisdiction. We can't give you jurisdiction. Klal Yisrael got so upset over this that they started a civil war. Okay? A civil war where ultimately 70,000 people in Klal Yisrael got killed. 70,000. And Shevet Binyamin was almost entirely wiped out. Initially, they were sort of successful in the battle. Ultimately, they were almost entirely wiped out. There was a cherem against having your daughters marry into Shevet Binyamin, which, by the way, ended also right after the Yahrzeit, which is Tubav. It ended at that point. Okay, that's what happened. Chazal say that the two were connected. That Pesel Bicha and Pelegish Megivah were connected. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu got very upset at Klal Yisrael. Here it is that what happens to this person's Pelegish. So look what you do. You go to a civil war and kill. There's so many people killed. But wait a second. Before that, by Pesel Bicha, the smoke that emanated from Mishkan Shiloh got intermingled with the smoke that came from Pesel Micha. By the way, we'll see that Micha was also very close. It ended up being very close, started out very close to Shiloh. The smoke intermingled. Chazal dash in the pasuk, Ola oshan v'yapa. The smoke got upset. HaKadosh Baruch Hu very upset. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, wait a second. V'chvod basar v'dam v'chisem. But this person, the husband of the Pelegesh, for his cover, look what you did. You started a civil war. The fact that the smoke of Micha gets mixed up with the smoke of Shiloh didn't bother anybody. Okay. And therefore, Chazal say, the civil war started with so many people getting killed. Okay. So, we're going to see that these incidents and the beginning of Sefer Shoftim are definitely, definitely connected. Definitely connected. Not only that, we'll see that almost everything that went wrong in the period of the Shoftim gets corrected in the period of Shmuel and ultimately through his son, his illustrious son. Shmuel gets cut at his father and then Shmuel. Okay, where do we see that? So first of all, by the way, there's something else. In the last four parakim, throughout the story of Pelegish Megivah and Pesel Micha, the Navi tells us four times, Vayamim Mahein Ein Melech B'Yisrael, Ish HaYashar Be'Nav Yaseh. That time, there was no king in Klal Yisrael. Everybody did whatever they wanted. Okay, we're going to see soon that Elkanah changes over what happened with Pesel Micha. Okay? apparently people stopped going to Shiloh, they started going to Bichah. We're going to see that he gets everybody to go to Shiloh again. Okay, that was his great deed. What about the Pelegesh Begiva? So there's a tremendous amount of connection, really a shiur all on its own, but obviously this is not the place for it, so let's take at least one simple point. And that simple point is that in the story of Pelegesh Begiva, the prestige of Shevet Binyamin like goes down totally. The Shevet is almost entirely wiped out, and there's a cherem that nobody can marry their daughters into Shevet Binyamin. And then, and say for Shmuel, so Shmuel anoints as the first king in Klal Yisrael Shaul, who's from Shevet Binyamin. So the Barmanel points out, right, the result of this was that the prestige of Shevet Binyamin like was once again was able to come back and get up. So that's the connection. It's another thing that's undone. And of course, the third thing that we mentioned, that by Yomim Ahayim, a melech b'Yisrael, Isha Yashar be'enav yaseh, everybody did, because there was no king, everybody did whatever they wanted. So of course, Sefer Shmuel is the Sefer where Shmuel Hanavi anoints Shaul, as we just mentioned, as the first king in Klal Yisrael, and then anoints David as the permanent Malchus in Klal Yisrael. Everything gets correct. And we see from another point that this connection clearly exists. Okay? When it comes to Micha, the Torah introduces us to Micha, where it says, Vayhi ish mahar Ephraim. There was a person from Har Ephraim, and Michai shmo Michayo. Name was Micha. But the story of Pelegesh Begiv, it also talks about ish Levi gar b'yarkasei Ephraim. There was a Levi who lived in b'yarkasei Ephraim. And by Hilkanah, at the beginning of our Perek, again says, Vayhi ish echad min ha masayim tzofim mahar Ephraim. So everything, all these terrible stories happened to somebody from Shevet Ephraim, Bahar Ephraim, not from Shevet Ephraim, that happened in Bahar Ephraim, and in some instances of the Levi in Shevet Ephraim. I don't call it was a Levi. His son served in the Mishkan. Okay? So clearly, from the Lashon itself, we see the connection between the end of Sefer Shoftim and the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. Now, what was special about it, about Elkanah? Okay, so first of all, Chazal say that it says, right, he ish echad, it's a medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah, right? Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah. So Chazal say, right, he ish echad, whenever, I'm going to translate it in English, I'm going to use English translation, whenever Ish Echad is used, greatness is implied. As in the case of Elkanah, where it says, Ish Echad, in his generation, there was none like him. So Chazal obviously had a very, very exalted opinion of Elkanah. Another medrash, Kohelis, right? Perik Zayin, Pasuk Chavches, Shlomo HaMelech says, Ish Echad me'elef matzasi. I found one out of 1,000 people. What was that referring to? So again, I'm going to use the English translation. They sinned in the days of Micha and burned incense to the idolatrous image of Micha. And smoke of Shiloh, as we mentioned, intermingled with the smoke of the sacrifice of Micha. Allah Oshan B'yapo. And then he found Elkanah. Ish Echad. One man in a thousand. Okay. Obviously, Chazal are implying that who corrected the situation, right? The Mishkan Shiloh, etc., was obviously Elkanah. Okay. Now, what was special about it? Good. We see Chazal had a very, very high opinion of it. But what was indeed special about it? So we have to read that first pasuk, and as we said, first 5 times I read this pasuk, didn't think there was anything to it. As I mentioned before, yeah, maybe an introduction to Chana. Chazal read differently, right? It says, like, he is Shechad, So we saw that it means a special person, a chadim, special person. Okay? It says, Minera Messiahim Tsofim Maharafrayim. What's Minera Messiahim Tsofim? Hazal Darshan, that he was one of 200 Nevi'im. Okay? Was lived at that time. Ramasayim means of 200. Tsofim is one of 10 terms for a Navi. One of 200 Nevi'im. Hazal talk about what exactly his Nevu'ah was. Hazal also begin to talk about, aren't there only 48 Nevi'im? So Hazal say, no, there are many more, but only 48 that had a certain function. Okay. The second thing, he was a Navi. He was a special person. He was a Navi. Okay. Okay. And then it mentions Ushmoel, Kana, etc., etc. Ephrasi. He was an Ephrasi. What does it mean? What does it mean that he was an Ephrasi? Okay. Does it mean that he's from Shevet Ephraim? He wasn't from Shevet Ephraim. He was a Levi. Okay. As we mentioned before. Does it mean that he's from the city of Ephrat? No, the city of Ephrat was in Sheva, in the territory of Yehuda, was close to Beit Lechem. So what does it mean he was an Ephratic? So Chazal darshan, Rabbi Yeshua says, Paltiani, Ephrat is, Ephrati is from a Pirion, like a palace-type person. He was like a palace-type person. What does it mean, a palace-type person? Means a person who you would expect to be around the palace, either an advisor to a king, maybe a prime minister, Paltiani, person of very respected, a lot of prestige. Okay, that's one shot. Second shot is Rabbi Yeshua ben Pinchas, Rabbi Yehuda ben Pinchas, Muchta ben Imus. He had crowned with terrific manners, wonderful manners. Okay. Third is, Rav Pinchas says, what does Ephrati mean? He was Ephraim-like. Ephraim-like. Yaakov Avinu learned Torah with Ephraim. And Ephraim was also the son of Yosef, was also like a princely person, like we mentioned before. And Yaakov Avinu says that anyone who's like him, the big Rosh Hashiva, very learned, right, and is also princely like you, will be called by your name. Called after your name. So Okana is an Ephrasi because he's very learned in Torah, he's princely, okay, he's an Ephrati, like Ephraim. Now we find this one other place as well. Ish Yehudi, Hoya Bishushan Habira, Shma Mordechai, Ben Yor, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, Ish Yamini. So Mar Megillah asked, Ish Yehudi, from Shevet Yehuda. So why do we say at the end, he's Ish Yamini from Shevet Binyamin? And we know that indeed he happens to be from Shevet Binyamin. He's a descendant of Shaul. It was from Shevet Binyamin. Okay? So one answer in Chazal is that his mother was from Shevet Yehuda and his father was from Binyamin. Good. Another pshat, the Gemara says, that what pshat Ish Yehudi, Ish Yamini, that anybody who does not bow down to Avodah Zarah, okay, is called a Yehudi. After Yehuda didn't bow down to the Melech Mitzrayim, to Paro, he took on Paro. That's maybe where the term Yehudi or Jew comes from. Okay, so anybody who's like that doesn't bow down to Avodah Zarah, which of course is true to Mordechai in some degree, is called the Yehudi. Okay. Same thing here. Ephrati means somebody who's Ephraim-like. So Chazal have a lot of wonderful things to say about him. Chazal have one other thing to say, that if somebody is, his name is mentioned first, for example, Ushmo Mordechai, right? Ushmo Elkanah means he's a tzaddik. If it says the opposite, for example, Sheva ben Bichri Shemo, right? Sheva ben Bichri was a rebel against Malchus, but he was a Rasha. That indicates a Rasha. Okay? So if it mentions, says, Ishmo Elkanah, that means he was a big tzaddik. Why is that? So the Medrash says, because a tzaddik emulates a Kaddish Baruch. And by Kaddish Baruch Hu says, Ushmi Hashem lo nedati lehem. First Shemo, Shmi, and then Hashem. So, okay, he's special, he's princely-like, he's Muchta Beninmus, wonderful manners, right? He's a tzaddik, he's a navi, right? And he's very, very learned in Torah, right? And once again, princely, he's Ephraim-like, right? It's very nice. But what did he do to merit all these titles? Okay. So for that we have to look at the third pasuk. After it mentions all that lengthy introduction to him, and then it says Velo Shtei Nashim Shema Achas Chana V'Shema Shenes Penina, which is obviously part of introducing Chanes to who she was. The third pasuk says, "V'Allah ha'ish shahu me'iro, miyamim yamima l'shtachvos l'zvoach v'Hashem tzevachos v'Hashem." This man went up from his city to bow down to Hashem and Shiva. This man should have simply said, "V'Allah kana," we were introduced to his name. Right? The answer is obviously this pasuk is telling you. It says, "V'hi yishachad," there's this very special person, right? You want to know what's special about it? Well, this pasuk is going to tell you about all of Ishahu, that man, right? That man went, right? Zvoach Hashem Tzevakos Vashu. What was so special about that? Okay. So Chazal Darshan the following, right? It's in Tana de Be'elio Rabba. Chazal Darshan, V'Ola Ishahu Me'iro Me'yamim Yamima, Elkana V'Ishto, one of V'yach Yosef, v'chol karova, he, his wife, family, right? Hayamala imo l'regel, he would take them up to be ola regel, meaning to be ola regel to Shiloh. And the Rambam says that there's a chiyuv of aliyah l'regel to Shiloh, just like you have to go three times to the Beis Hamikdash later on. There was an obligation to go to Shiloh. People weren't doing it, okay? V'lanim b'chova shalir. And they would camp out in the main thoroughfare of the city. V'hoysa medina mageshes, the people of that, the countryside, realized, hey, what's going on here? What's he doing camping out in the main thoroughfare? V'yisholenosa. And they would ask him, l'heichon te'elchu, where are you going? V'orim, they would say, l'beis Hashem shebishilo, we're going to the house of Hashem Shiloh, Shemisham Teitzei, Torah Mitzvos. That's where Torah Mitzvos emanates from. This is a paraphrase of Kimitzion Teitzei Sorah. In other words, later when there was a Beis Hamikdash, Torah came out from Tzion. That's where the Sanhedrin was. Okay? Today, that we only have a Mishkan, that's where Torah is emanates from. Kimisham Teitzei Torah Mitzvos. Batal Lamal Lusivo Imanu, why don't you come along with us? Right, b'nei l'chiyachad, we'll go together. Miyad de'neim ishagras demos, they started crying. Right, they realized, taka, we should be going. Omrim lehem, ne'i l'chimam, can we really go with you? Omrim lehem, hey, of course. Sa'ad l'shana chameshvat. After 1 year, there were five families that were going to Shiloh. L'shana acheretz ha'sarabatim, by the next year, 10 families. And Atra Yakula Molim until everybody started going back to Shiloh. And Chazal say Bederach Shailer Ayaola Shana Zu, the path that he took 1 year, or Hayaola Shana Acheres. He didn't take the next year. Atra Yakula Molim until he got everybody by taking a different path every year. He got everybody. He got everybody to go on. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Baruch Hu says to him, Elkanah. After Hechratis Yisrael Lechafschus, you turned Klai Yisrael. Right? From what we saw, they weren't so great before his period. You brought them to Lechafschus, to the side of righteousness, to Chenachtem B'mitzos, and you taught them how to do mitzos. V'zachu Rabim Ayidecha, many people benefit right, through you. V'chayecha Niyotzi Ben Memcha. I say, I promise that I will give forth a son from you. Sheyachriyas Yisrael Lechafschus. He's going to change all of Klai Yisrael to the side of righteousness. V'yichanechosem b'mitzvos. He's going to train them in mitzvos. Lamadita, that this teaches you Shabbeschar Elkanah Shmuel, that it's in the source of Elkanah that Shmuel was born. First of all, Chazal never just make up stories. Right? When they say something, they're darshaning it from the psukh. What in this pasuk made them realize that every year they went on a different path, right? So on and so forth, right? Apparently, the answer is three things. First of all, it says Allah ishahu. Allah means continuous. Every year they would go. Every year they would go. It's one thing. Second, it says Allah ishahu meiro. That this man went from his city, every single year. If a person's leaving, going somewhere, obviously he's going from his city, he's going from his house. So what does the pasuk say that he, Allah Yishahu Me'iro, he went from his house every year? Obviously, Chazal see in that, what the pasuk is telling you is that the one thing that was in common in his going every year was his point of departure. He left from his house. But then every single year, apparently, he went on a different path to make get as many people as possible to join him and to go with him. Third possibility, an interesting possibility, is that if you look at the biblical map of the time, you'll see that Shiloh was in the territory of Ephraim. Okay? As we saw before, Elkanah lived in Har Ephraim. Okay? So the likelihood is that the distance from his house to Shiloh may have been a 10, 15-minute donkey ride. Okay? If that's true, what's this? V'Allah Ishahu Me'iro, right? Went up from his city, right? Almost like an Aliyah, right? Went up from his city, okay? And camped out. Why? So obviously, Chazal seeing that, the pasuk is telling you is, and yeah, it was a very short ride. It could have been a very short ride, but he made it into a long one. Every year, he would take a different path, he would go, so on and so forth, in order to get as many people involved. That's what Chazal see in the pasuk, and that was his greatness. But he changed things around very dramatically. Okay? Now, what makes somebody into a person who can influence others? Okay? What makes a person into somebody who can influence others? Okay? Now, Chazal tell us not so much what type of person can influence others, but apparently they tell us what type of person does not influence others. Medrash and Tana de Baileo, where the Medrash says, should you ask, why were 70,000 people killed at Giv'a of Shevet Binyamin? Why such a great tragedy? So as I'll say, because there was a great Sanhedrin and Pinchas, the son of Elazar, right? They were around. They were left with them. During the period of Shoftim, they should have girded themselves with loins and traveled to all the towns of Israel, right? Pious, one day to Lachish, one day to Beitel, one day to Hebron, one day to Yerushalayim. Right? And after a while, in the course of time, they would have taught Klal Yisrael how to act appropriately. But they didn't do so. They didn't do so. Apparently, what Elkanah did do was, we just saw, they didn't. Pinchas was a person who acted when he saw wrong being committed, and he had the courage to act so strongly against it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him eternal schar for it, Kahuna Sol, Pinchas, right? Later became Leo. Wasn't, why didn't he go around? What happened? Apparently the answer is that there are certain types of personality that when there's something dramatically wrong, they have the nerve to take action and to deal with it. Right? That's kanos. That's kanos. Okay? Apparently, that type of personality, however, And that deserves a lot of reward, for sure. Apparently, that type of personality is not the type of personality who can naturally have the effect of changing people. Okay? My grandson has pointed out to me that in a way, the Rambam in Shmona Prakim in the seventh Perek more or less says that. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Eliyo Anavi, Pinchas of Eliyo, Yo, somebody who is able to punish Shogdei HaBaal, so on and so forth, right? Able to deal with it very, very effectively. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, you're not the type of person who can lead Klai Yisrael. It's not the type of personality that can have this permanent effect, as important as your role, of course, is. What is the type of personality that can have such an effect? So we saw a Paltiani. Somebody who has the prestige that people will respect him. He's a palace-like person. Right? However, it's also somebody who's muchta benimus. Very, very good manners, very friendly, etc. And if we look, how did O'Connor get people to change and to start going to shul? They start yelling at them, why aren't you going? What's the matter with you? This is the place of Torah. And then, no. He started out with his own family, took his whole family, camped out, right? Attract people's attention. When people came over to him, said, what are you doing? Where are you going? He said, oh, of course, I'm going to the house of Hashem from Shiloh. That's where Torah Mitzvah is coming. Why don't you come along with us? So they realized, yeah, he's right. That's where we should be going. Can we go with you? Yeah. Five families of the first year, 10 the next, until he got everybody. Right? It's not through kanoyas, it's not through being upset with people. Make people in the nicest of possible ways, right, to realize that what they should be doing. That's what O'Connor is all about. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. Rosh Hashanah is creating change, evoking change. We tend to think, people tend to think that whatever happened the past bunch of years to me will continue happening, or to Klai Yisrael will continue happening. Kadosh Baruch Hu is takamari chav sometimes. It may be true. He lets things ride for a while, right? But that's not what Rosh Hashanah is about. Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. Everything could change dramatically. Dramatically. Right? That's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. And that's why O'Connor is a major personality at the very beginnings of this Sefer Shmuel. We read the Torah because of Hannah. There's no question. Because of her prayers, Shmuel was born. That's for sure. Okay? But it also had to do with O'Connor. Not only that, we actually see from the Tefillah of Hannah, okay, that what she says in her tefillah is that, Kadosh Baruch Hu gets things to change. Ada kara yolda shiva, until I was barren. And then I have a lot of children, and my co-wife is losing children. That could happen. Sveim belechem. Those who are satiated with bread will have to rent themselves out for bread, right? So on and so forth. A whole bunch of things, Hashemimis and Mechaya, and which is really part of our Sanet Tokev, Hashemimis and Mechaya, Morit Shol V'yoh. Even she talks about change, right? Change. One who was able to evoke the change, and because of him also, Shmuel was born, is O'Connor. Okay? Actually, Shmuel was a product of both his father and his mother. He had a tremendous koach hatfila. We say it every Friday night that Shmuel was the equal of Moshe Va'aron in his koach hatfila. Moshe Va'aron b'cholanov, Moshe Va'aron b'cholanov. One side was Shmuel b'kori Shemo. Shmuel, when they call Hashem's name, Korim el Hashem, they call to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your name, and he answers them. Okay? That was his koach that he got from his mother, Chana, the koach hafilah. But Chazal also say that he had tremendous impact on Klal Yisrael and the way he did it. How did he judge Klal Yisrael? He didn't start a courthouse. Every year he went on a different path, went to a different city, right? Met the people, wanted to see what's going on personally, and that's how he got Klal Yisrael to change. That's how he got Klal Yisrael to change. That he got from his father. From his father, Kanan also went from place to place to influence Klal Yisrael. That was a combination of his mother and his father. And that's what the first perek of Sefer Shmuel is all about. Rosh Hashanah is change, it's a time of change, it's a Yom HaDin. Perhaps the best proof of that, by the way, is from the Tkiyah Shofar itself. As I'll say that what's it says, Yom Teruah Yilechem. Rosh Hashanah is a day of Teruah. What's Teruah? So the Targum translates Teruah Yevava, the sound of anguish. That key is a positive sound. Yom Teruah Yilechem. Okay. What is a Teruah? What type of sound of anguish? So one opinion is that it's a Shvarim type sound. Okay, that type of sound of anguish. There's another opinion that it's a Trua type sound. It's a wail. Okay. And there's a third opinion in the Gemara that it's a combination, perhaps a combination of the two. We start out, Trua Yavava starts out with anguish and then breaks into a wail. Okay? So when we blow shofar, we blow from Malchios, Zechronos, shofar, each one at Tkiah, Shavarim, Tkiah, okay? And one at Tkiah, Shavarim, Tkiah, the other is Tkiah, Trua, and then Tkiah, Shavarim, Trua, Tkiah, okay? But that doesn't lead us, we blow 100 kolos. That doesn't yet lead us. We blow before Shemoneh Esrei, we blow during Shemoneh Esrei, some we blow in the middle of the quiet Shemoneh Esrei, others we finish up afterwards. We're still missing a number of kolos. So, Farshim say, Tosas brings it down, that the kolos, the last kolos, are connected to the kolos of Aim Sisera, the mother of Sisera, the general who fought against the mother. Okay? Because by here it says, V'tiyavev imo de Sisera, mother of Sisera started kolos of anguish, wailing. Mother of Sisera, we bring her into the Tkiah Shofar. What? When? The answer is Chazal tell us, the question tell us, that Sisera used to come back from his battles. Always he would be back in the early morning hours, first part of the day. Right? And she always awaited him and would bring gifts, etc., etc. Every single one of his battles would always come back in the morning hours. All of a sudden, at this waiting her son, and it says he can boshes love. As I'll say, boshes. That the third, sixth hour is already here, meaning the morning is over. Okay? And he would always come back in the morning. So all of a sudden she realized that things aren't the same as they always were. And it seems as if this time he's not coming back. So it says, V'tiyavev imo de Sisera. He started wailing. That's exactly what the sound of shofar, the wail of the shofar is meant to be. You think things are going to be exactly the same as they always were. Not necessarily true. Shoshana is a time that things can change very dramatically. And we're supposed to try. It's our role to try to make it change. Through tefillah. Tefillah is a very powerful ingredient. Tefillah, right? That's chana. Tshuva. Tshuva, of course, is a very powerful ingredient. But the other is that through very unique personalities and clients, so they have it within them to create change, to get everything. Everything that's negative, they have the power within them to get it to change. That was all. like to say, in terms of alumnus, Baruch Zatzal, he was such a person, very much similar to Okan, as we shall see. Okay? He had it within him to influence people. That we saw from a very, very early age. We were told that when he was going to Yale Medical School, he was a heart specialist, so he wasn't so sure that this is where he should be going, to an Ivy League out-of-town school. Yeah, that he definitely had a tremendous influence on. And he asked an extremely prominent Rav what he should do. Maybe he should go to a more, not such a prestigious, but a more local school, a local medical school. And this Rav, who normally would have realized, yeah, that's a serious consideration, told him, I know you well enough, the Rav from his community. I know that people are not going to have influence on you. You're going to have influence on other people. And that's exactly what happened. Okay. However, after he finished the medical school, he was doing his internship and things like that, then he did make sure to do it in a community that was had a prominent yeshiva, prominent shuls, that he would be able to learn properly. And one of the places was in Baltimore. And I remember I was once in Baltimore and I was in touch with him. So he tells me, oh, I'm going to be home very, very soon. I want to invite you for a deli lunch. Okay, very nice. So I come to his house and we have a very, very nice lunch. And I'm about to leave. I have other things to do. And Baruch has a good, all of a sudden, has a Gemara, has a Sefer underneath his hand, and he's leaving with me. So I tell him, but you told me that you were just coming. You just came home. You're already leaving. He said, yeah, I'm going to learn in Eretz Yisrael. Try to do that as often as I can. Okay. That's what he did afterwards. He was in Chicago, also a place that he was able to keep up his learning. He had a tremendous love for learning, but he also had that prestige from being a Yale student, you know, heart specialist. Heart doctor. So he was a Paltiani of sorts. He had that natural prestige that people would respect him, right? But he also had a tremendous love for Torah. He was a Chaim like. Okay. Afterwards, when he got a position, he was from Florida, right? From Miami Beach, but he got a position in the medical office in Boca Raton. So when he came to Boca Raton, he started learning the daf with his good friend, a fellow alumnus, prominent alumnus, Ben Sugarman. Ben gave the daf yomi shir in the community, and besides giving it the terrific shir, I've heard him many times, he also gave it online, where I was told that over 1,000 people listened to a shir. I listened to it once online, really is terrific. Okay, so Baruch listened to the shir. Nope. Baruch woke up very early in the morning and he would prepare the shir with Ben for a number of hours, 2.5 hours, 3 hours. He would prepare the shir together. Okay? This is how he started his day before he thought about, you know, his professional role. Shows a tremendous, tremendous love for Torah. Okay? We were told last year at his Levaya here in Eretz Yisrael, so his relative said that he influenced every single one of his relatives to get into serious learning. How did he do that? He didn't do it by telling them, what are you doing? Why aren't you learning Torah? No. That they saw his love for Torah. And he would say, wow, it's so wonderful. Learning Torah is such a wonderful thing that all of them got into it. Right? All of them got into it. Similar to Kana, he started out with his own family. Right? I had the pleasure of being invited to a weekend-based medrash program at Baruch and Ben. Had started in Boca Raton Synagogue. Right? They started a serious learning program over the weekend, and they had invited me in 16, around this time of year, 4 years ago. Okay, I just want to say that to have such a type of influence as he had in the community, that has to be two components. First of all, a rav that's very chashuv, and also wants talmud, type of learning that you know they were able to institute, and certainly Ephraim Goldberg is certainly such a rav. I've gotten to know him decently well. And second, you have to have a supportive wife. And Adina, I had the pleasure of being in the house, incredibly, incredibly supportive of all his endeavors, including his learning. Those are the two crucial ingredients. Okay, what was it like on such a weekend? So I was told that in the summer, like during July, late July month, many people leave Florida. So hot, so they go to the mountains area in New York or other places like that, right? And that's one factor. Second factor is the Shabbos starts much, much later than in New York, right? Maybe an hour later or something like that. So they had a Friday night oneg, where I was supposed to give a parsha shiur, which started at 9:30 with singing, and et cetera, et cetera. By the time I got around to give the actual talk, was perhaps 10:45. There were still 45 people there to listen to Advar Torah. The next morning, they davened early. I believe it was 7 o'clock, very early for America. Okay? And right after davening, they had a short kiddush. And then afterwards, they had an Ian shir. They expected me to give an Ian shir. In fact, they asked me to send in sources, Mara Makoma, so that people could prepare. And right after, still pretty early in the morning, so I gave an Iyun Shir, and again, with many, many people not in Florida at that time of year. It was 65 people that showed up to an Iyun Shir. Afterwards, they learned, continued learning another 2 hours or so. Okay, could be some of them went over this year or whatever else. And first at like 12:30 or so, they would go back home. They would head towards the house. And that's when they would start their meal. Okay. The afternoon, there was also more expensive share. Good. On Sunday morning, I wasn't aware that anything happened. I was going to the early mincha. All of a sudden, again, I see Baruch with the Gemara. Where I was going to the mincha. He says, why? Sunday morning, we sit and learn. That was also part of the learning. Where in America, or anywhere, is there such a serious Beis Medrash program as they were able to set up there? Okay. Afterwards, a while later, there's an elementary yeshiva, elementary school in Boca, close to Boca. And they also want to bring this Chafetz Chaim Elementary School. And they wanted to bring in the Chafetz Chaim High School in Beis Medrash, but there is one in other parts of Florida, northern Miami, but they wanted to bring one into Boca as well. And this was a sensitive issue, because after all, even though Chafetz Chaim is very standing, they get along with people, but the community is prominently a yeshiva university community, and therefore it's a little sensitive, right? So Baruch didn't fight for it. What he did was he got the kollel to start giving shiurim to the balabatim, to the people of the community at the shul in Boca Raton Synagogue, okay? A bunch of nights a week they would give shiurim. And therefore, the people got to appreciate the kollel, and the kollel got to appreciate what the people were about. And it was a wonderful addition to the yeshiva. This is the way Baruch did everything. Never, ever, ever trying to fight for something in a negative way. Always to do it in a way that would be totally, totally positive. When he was already not well. He had come back from a trip in Germany, having treatment. So I was in that. I was close to Florida, and I came to visit him. I wanted to get a chance to schmooze. At that point, he was weak, and it wasn't easy for him to sit down and to learn and to understand learning. So I came to talk, encourage him, right? We've been close all these years. And I start schmoozing. Says, well, wait, the first thing is, like always, you give me an Ian Shearer and help. Afterwards, we'll talk. Okay? That was Baruch. Sure, such a tremendous avasatar. Later, when he was really not well, so he got over 100 people to learn the Daf Yomi in his chus. Okay? And they all got into it. Right? As I said before, never, hey, you got to do this for me. It's so great to learn. Try it, you'll see. And they did. This was Baruch, right? And he literally changed the community with, of course, Ben Sugarman, but he had tremendous influence and changed the community to such a degree in terms of his Torah, commitment, etc. Shortened life, he had an incredible, incredible influence and left a tremendous legacy that will surely endure way for a long, long time, way beyond his short life. And let's hope that Mashiach comes, will endure forever. That was Baruch. He was an old Connor type person in every single way, a Paltiani. Person respected for his position as a physician, tremendous love for Torah, wonderful midos in every single way. An ideal person who was so proud to have had somebody like that. You know, as an alumnus of the yeshiva, who he stated many times, he felt that the yeshiva had a tremendous effect on him. Yehi Zichro.
Is ready. Okay, yes.